Luke chapter 1, I'm entitling the message from the words of the messenger from God. His name was Gabriel. He's a messenger and an angel sent to Zacharias to declare the good news of a coming special son that God gave a special ministry. So I'm entitling the message from the words down in verse 17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," and that refers to Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children," or turn the hearts of fathers and children, "to turn the hearts of the disobedient to submission, to wisdom of the just." Now here's the title, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. A people prepared for the Lord. Now the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, is declaring unto Zacharias what the ministry of John was designed to do. It was designed to turn hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is just, our just God and Savior, who is wisdom incarnate, wisdom personified. All the wisdom of God is hid in Christ. Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 31, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God." Lord, turn me, turn me, turn me. David prayed this in Psalm 80, "Turn us, O God, turn our hearts. Turn us, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved." There is a turning that God must do in our heart, because it's not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy unto us. Now only the Almighty God can turn a sinner from death to life, from darkness to light, from disobedience unto submission, from being a rebel to having a repentant heart. Only God can turn the heart. Only God can grant repentance. You remember what the word of the Lord says concerning John's ministry? Hold your place right there and find the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6. John had a very special ministry that was given of God. You see it, verse 6? John 1, verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." What was his ministry about? "The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light." Notice that's capital L. "That all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world." What was John's message? Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. What was his message? "Behold the Lamb of God." You remember? John 1:21. "The next day John seeth the Lord Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that's his people, the world of his elect, as we talked about in our Bible study this morning. You remember what John said of himself? John said, "I must decrease, the Lord Jesus Christ must increase." John's ministry was to point out the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold the Lamb of God. Look to him. Follow him. Don't look to me." We're going to read in a little while where John said, "I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness." John pointed sinners to Christ. And that's what the gospel ministry is all about. In verse 13, Luke 1, "The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias." Now watch this. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. Elizabeth and Zacharias had been praying for many years. She was a barren woman, never had any children. They'd been praying and praying and praying for many years, and their prayer was heard. Their prayer was answered. When Zacharias was about his priestly ministry in the temple, burning incense upon the altar of incense in the holy place, Zacharias had a very special visitor that came to him. And the messenger of the Lord said unto him in verse 13, "Fear not, Fear fell upon Zacharias. He said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been answered. You're going to have that special son that you prayed for." They've probably been married 50 years, maybe more. They've been praying all that time for a son. This ought to teach us the value of prayer unto the Lord. The Lord does hear our cry, and in due time, He will answer our prayer. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Our Lord told us to continue in prayer. Watch unto pray. Pray always and faint not. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. You see that? Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What a privilege we have to call upon our God in prayer. I love that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that takes me from this world of care. What a privilege we have to call upon our God and ask for mercy. Someone said, delay of answer must not discourage our faith. It may be God has long granted before we shall know of His grant. God had granted the answer to this prayer long ago. Now it comes to pass. That ought to teach us to pray and to wait upon the Lord. And again I say, wait. Now look at verse 14. The messenger said to Zacharias, you're going to have that special son, and you're going to call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Your son is numbered among the elect of God. Your son is going to be a believer. Your son is going to be a prophet. Your son is going to be blessed of God. Your son is going to be used of God. Now, I can't think of any greater blessing a parent can receive than to have a believing child. What could any parent desire more than for his child, that child should be known as a believer, as a son of God? Think about it. A believer of the gospel, walking with the Lord. And the angel said to Zacharias, your son's going to be a believer, he's going to be a prophet, and you're going to have joy and gladness. Made me think about this. What do our sons and daughters need more than anything else? What do you need more than anything else? Let's get right personal. What do we need more than anything else? Now, we want to do the best we can for our children, don't we? We want them to be healthy. We want them to have a good education. Maybe one day have a good paying job. Maybe one day have a nice house. But what do we really desire for our children? I tell you what, that the Lord might have mercy upon them. That's what we desire for our children. You see, good health, education, good paying job, wealth, all these things passing away. The fashion of this world is passing away. What we need and what all men need everywhere is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith in Him. Faith in Him. Oh, may God help us to raise our children up in the nurture, admonition of the Lord, and pray for their salvation. I pray for my children's salvation, don't you? For our children, our grandchildren. I've got two grandchildren. I pray for their salvation. The Lord be pleased to do something for them. I thought of two scriptures about this, parents and children and salvation. In Proverbs 22, wise man Solomon said, train up a child in the way that he shall go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train a child in the way he should go. And then I thought of this scripture that Paul says of Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we need? Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may God grant it to be so. And I tell you, if you're a believer, you do have joy and gladness. And we do rejoice in those who were sent of God to preach the gospel unto us. Look over here in this same chapter, verse 58, verse 57 of Luke 1. When Elizabeth's full time came, she should be delivered. She brought forth that son just like it was told. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Oh, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing in the salvation of sinners. Now look at Luke 1, verse 15. And this messenger sent from God, you remember he said down here in verse 19, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. Here's some of these glad tidings. Verse 15, for he shall be great, now watch this, in the sight of the Lord. Now John was despised among men. He was despised among men. But he was great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall be separated. He shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. When they asked John, turn to John chapter 1. When they asked John about his ministry, you remember what he said? He said, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. He didn't say, well, I'm a great prophet. He didn't say that. When the Pharisees asked him in John chapter 1, verse 9. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Now, he could have said, well, I'm the special son of Zacharias. I mean, the angel from God came and announced my birth. I mean, he had some credentials. But he passed all those by, and he said, and confessed, and denied not, but I'm not the Christ. Who art thou? He said, I'm not the Messiah. They ask him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? Art thou that prophet? Deuteronomy 18, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he answered, no. Then they said unto him, well, who art thou, that we may give answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Look at verse 23. I'm a voice. I'm a voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. You remember what he said in Isaiah 40? John, who are you? A voice of one crying in the wilderness. You remember in Isaiah 40, he said, all flesh is grass. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. We're all sinners. And all the goodness thereof is the flower of the field, the grass withered, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people, they're grass, nothing. The grass withered, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. You see, John shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Men, someone said, measure greatness with a short stick. What is greatness in the sight of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's only great in Christ before the Lord. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures. In Philippians 3, I believe the Lord used this scripture to teach me the gospel. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him. That's true greatness. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, Christ is our righteousness. Blessed is the man whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. Now look back to the text. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He doesn't need anything external to find comfort and joy. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from the womb. We enjoy the greatness of His salvation. We enjoy as believers the greatness of His love, the greatness of His mercy. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We enjoy the greatness of God's blessing upon us. It says there that John was great in the sight of the Lord. I want you to turn and look at a scripture with me. Luke chapter 7. Turn over there. Luke chapter 7. You remember this? When they came to the Lord Jesus and asked Him about the ministry of John. Verse 26 of Luke 7. What, went you out to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now look at this next statement. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I wish I could tell you all that that means. Maybe I can think about it a while. When we get over here to John chapter 7, the Lord will give me something to say to you about it. But I found this statement by Charles Spurgeon on that verse. The least in the gospel as the believer being blessed in Christ stands on higher ground than the greatest under the law. How privileged we are who by virtue of entering into the kingdom of heaven by faith are made to see, hear, and enjoy those things which even the prophets of prophets could not enter into. We have the full and complete revelation of the Word of God and the Spirit of God to reveal the things of Christ unto us. We are blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back at Luke 1 verse 15, the last part of verse 15. Now if you look this verse up, where it says of John, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, for he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from the womb. John, like Samson, Samuel, and Jeremiah, and the Apostle Paul, were specially set apart and sanctified and totally controlled, influenced, dominated by God the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, the Lord said to Jeremiah, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet. Remember what the Lord said of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1? But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. While still in the womb of Elizabeth, John's mother, John was influenced, dominated, and controlled by God the Holy Spirit. Now this is a mystery. Look at Luke 1. Did you notice this in reading this? In Luke chapter 1 verse 40, this is Mary coming to Elizabeth, who is her cousin. And when Mary entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth, you got it, Luke 1:40? It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Zacharias, not only was Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit, not only was John filled with the Holy Spirit, but look at Luke 1, verse 67. Later on, Zacharias preaches the gospel here in verse 67, and he does so, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. special blessing that every believer enjoys, to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. You see, the Father chose us, the Son redeemed us, and God the Holy Spirit in time comes and quickens us, calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and as Paul said in Ephesians 1, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise unto the day of redemption. Now look at verse 16 and 17 of Luke 1. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him, the Lord our God, in the spirit and power of Elijah. And this is from Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, to turn the hearts of fathers and children and disobedient unto Christ, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now here we see the importance of the gospel ministry. The gospel preacher is an instrument in the hand of the Lord to turn God's elect unto the Lord. Many, it says there in verse 16, you see that? Many of the children of Israel shall be turned. Now who are the many? Who are the many? Let's see if we can find out. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Many. Acts chapter 13. Who are the many that will be turned? These people were prepared by God from all eternity. We'll see that in just a minute. Look at Acts 13. Who are the many? Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed God. Who are the many? The many of God's elect shall be turned unto the Lord. You see, only God, this is not saying that John turned anyone. It's saying that God used his ministry to turn sinners to Christ. And that's what true repentance is. Only God can turn a sinner from death to life. Only God can turn a sinner from darkness to light. You see, he must command the light to shine in our hearts. And this turning here is repentance. That's what happens when God grants repentance. We turn from self to him. Only God, who created the heart, can truly turn the heart unto Christ and give us eyes to see him and command the light to shine in our heart. Now look at verse 17. Now he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. John's ministry, like every true gospel ministry, is designed to prepare a people for the Lord. Now, who are these people and when were they prepared? Turn to Romans chapter 9. They're the many that were given to the Lord Jesus in that covenant of grace. In Romans chapter 9, look at verse 21. Romans 9, 21. He hath prepared to make ready a people prepared for or by the Lord. In Romans 9, look at verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? There's that reprobate world that we talked about earlier. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. You see, God has prepared his people to receive the gospel when the gospel is preached unto his people. Now turn back to, I want you to find Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Here's another scripture about the Lord preparing a people. Matthew 25. These are the people who turn to the Lord. They're prepared to turn. And God uses the ministry of the gospel to turn his people. You remember Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, these people were prepared by God. And in due time, the Lord raises up a preacher of the gospel and sends him out to declare the message, blesses it to the hearts of God's elect by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and they're turned from self unto God. Now, let me show you that in Scripture. Turn, read this with me. Find 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. They're turned. The people are prepared to turn from all eternity. God has an elect given to Christ. And he will cross their path with the gospel and call them out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. You got it? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. It did come by word, but not by word only. It came by power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy. There's that joy again of the Holy Spirit. So that you were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord. They saw the necessity of preaching the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. But also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now watch this. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turn to God from idols. Now notice carefully, it doesn't say you turn from your idols. It says you return to God, how you turn to God. Now how'd that happen? By his grace. Because he prepared a people from all eternity to turn them by the gospel ministry. How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what happens when God grants repentance. We turn. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. How did he do that? By taking the wrath of God for us. Only God can turn a sinner from death to life, from ignorance to knowledge, from unbelief to faith. You see, faith, like repentance, is a gift of God. From darkness to light, from the ceremonies of the law, unto Christ who fulfilled the law. Only God can give a repentant heart. Repentance is not something get in you naturally. Only thing that's in you naturally is rebellion. God must grant a repentant heart. Faith is not something that resides in you naturally. Faith is a gift of God. The gift of God. You see, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 2:14. Acts 5:31. Hath God exalted the Lord Jesus Christ to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel, his elect, and the forgiveness of sin. This turning of the heart is true repentance. And this turning of the heart, look back to the text again. Notice it says there to turn hearts. To turn hearts. Now, when we think about with the heart man believeth unto salvation, he's not talking about this organ in our body. When he talks about with the heart man believeth unto salvation, he's talking about your whole person, your mind, your will, your emotion, your affection, who you really are. That's our heart, our real self. He causes the whole man to turn. We turn in our thoughts, we turn in our mind, we turn in our affection, we turn in our love to him. That's true repentance. That's believing the gospel with a heart. That's setting your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. And God must do it. We'll never turn ourselves. We'll never be turned unless God turns us. Let us always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has ordained the means to call out his people through the preaching of the gospel. Now, I've had this argument given to me before. by those who refused to believe the gospel. Well, you say if God elected a people and Christ died for the people and that God the Holy Spirit will call them out, why go preach? Why go preach the gospel? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. It pleased God through preaching to save them that believe. God has ordained the preaching of the gospel to call out his people. That's why we go. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. God has ordained not only the end, but also the means to arrive at that end through the preaching of the gospel. That's why I read earlier, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why we preach Christ as everything in salvation. The charge given to the church is preach the word, preach Christ. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Peter says, being born again with the incorruptible word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I'm a whosoever. How about you? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord now. But listen to this. How then shall they be called? How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now you can't believe what you don't know. You cannot believe what you've not heard. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We read that earlier from Romans 10, 13 through 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. I want you to find this scripture with me over in Isaiah. That Romans 10, Isaiah 52. That's from Romans 10 is a quotation from Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, salvation in the substitute Jesus Christ, that saith unto Zion, God reigns. You see that? Thy God reigneth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make sure you call upon God who is God. Behold, thy God reigneth. God reigns in creation, created all things by the word of his power. God reigns in providence. Of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. And God reigns in salvation, doesn't he? You see, if God doesn't turn our dead heart from darkness to light, we'll never be turned. But he turns us through the means that he's ordained, and that's the preaching of the word. That's why God sent John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. My dear friend Pastor Mahan used to always say this, and I believe he's right. One of the greatest blessings that God can give to any community is a God-called, God-sent gospel preacher that will say, thus saith the Lord, thy God reigneth. God reigns in all things, everywhere. And God will bless that man that's given that ministry as he did John. John had a very short ministry. He started his public ministry when he was 30 years old, and he didn't preach but just a short time. And because he would not compromise, and because it was God's purpose, John was executed for the gospel that he preached.